This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the hour, we'll talk about the completion of the Human Genome Project and what comes next. But first, we turn to a new discovery made in the deep earth layers of Siberia. As reported in the journal Science, a team of biologists from the University of Copenhagen was able to extract DNA samples up to hundreds of thousands years old, the oldest DNA that has been found to date. And the amazing thing about this discovery is that the scientists were able to extract the DNA directly from the soil. They did not need to use those fossils. They didn't have to find any fossils to recover this DNA. And this new approach could change the way things are done in fields from paleontology to forensic science. If you'd like to join our discussion about this, you can call us at 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Let me introduce my guest. Esk Vaillerslev is a molecular biologist in the Department of Evolutionary Biology at the Zoological Institute at the University of Copenhagen in Denmark. He joins us today by phone. Good evening. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you very much.
What did you do? Did you just simply dig up the soil and find all this DNA in there?
No, I mean, we have our Russian colleagues have specialized in drilling inside the permafrost, so they're actually drilling permafrost cores under very controlled conditions. And it's from inside of these permafrost cores that we have obtained the soil and extracted the DNA. And there we can find that it's possible to recover plant DNA all the way back 300,000 to 400,000 years, while the mammal DNA we can obtain around 20,000 to 30,000 years old and up to the present.
Hmm. Is it because it's permafrost that the DNA is so well preserved?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the permafrost has temperatures around constant temperatures around minus 10 degrees below zero, so that is a perfect environment for long-term DNA preservation.
So what do you learn about this old DNA?
Well, the very amazing thing here is actually that from just 2 grams of soil, it's possible to obtain a lot of the diversity of past ecosystems, and we can obtain both get a representation of the plant composition in the environment, but also the mammals. So, example, DNA from woolly mammoth, horse, bison, and musk ox, and so on. So we can actually see how the environment has been changing in Beringia through the last 300,000 to 400,000 years. And we can see that the environment has been going from a very herb-dominated environment with very few shrubs to a more and more shrub- and moss-dominated environment. And that may have had implications for the extinction of the megafauna, bison, horse, and mammoth around 11,000 years ago.
Hmm. Is this DNA still viable? Could you use it and bring back those plants?
No, no way. I mean, that's unfortunate. I mean, it's only... the only thing left there is very short pieces of DNA, just enough for us to actually identify the organisms. And, I mean, any cloning of a mammoth or an extinct plant, I mean, it's impossible at this stage.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get the DNA, the soil? You have to drill down and pull out the soil and the DNA. How do you keep it from being contaminated with other soil and stuff on the way up?
Exactly. I mean, that's the big issue here. I mean, what we do is that the Russians have developed this special drill that are not using any drill fluid or anything in order to minimize the risk of contamination. But in order to make sure that we don't get any contamination vertically, we are staining the drill apparatus with recognizable bacteria strains. So when we are looking for the DNA inside the soil samples, we are also at the same time looking for the DNA of these special bacteria that we have stained the drilling apparatus with, and to make sure that we have no vertical contamination. And in addition, we actually also send off, you know, samples to University of Oxford in order to them to do the similar analysis and get the same results as we got to make sure that we don't have any type of contamination.
Well, now that you have shown that you can find really old DNA in the soil, what can you do with that in practical, modern-day applications?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have shown that it's not only working for the permafrost areas, it's also working for the cave areas in New Zealand, where we did a similar experiment from just 2 grams of cave soil, where we obtained DNA from two species of extinct moa, these giant flightless birds that became extinct a couple of hundred years ago in New Zealand, and a lot of plants there too. So the big issue now, I think, is whether or not this technique can be taken outside the permafrost and outside the cave areas. And it's an open question at the moment because, I mean, if we can go to our own backyard and do similar studies, I mean, then it will have huge implications for not only paleontology, archaeology, and so on, but also for stuff like forensics. But at the moment, I mean, that's an open question, how broad this approach can be used.
Mm-hmm. How deep down did you go on this drilling?
Well, around like 20 meters as the deepest. I mean, the oldest layers that we were dealing with were dated to be around 1.5 to 2 million years, and at that stage we couldn't obtain any amplifiable DNA at all. So the oldest we could get was between 300,000 and 400,000 years old. But I would also add that it could have quite large implications also for like Martian research, because in the coming years, both ESA and NASA will send missions to Mars looking for remains of life in the permafrost on Mars that are much colder than on Earth, and that means that the DNA will have a very good possibility of being preserved there, if there has been DNA-based life being preserved in the permafrost of Mars for a very, very long time. And with our investigation, we show that it's not only possible to detect traces of life from simple organisms like bacteria and fungi, but it's also possible to detect DNA from much more complex organisms. So that could also be quite important, I think, for the Martian research.
Mm-hmm. What about for forensic science, with people investigating crimes and things? Any
exactly,
application
I mean,
there?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on whether or not the approach can be used outside the cave and permafrost areas. And as I just mentioned, I mean, currently, I mean, it's a totally open question. We know that the DNA, for example, is coming from mammoth and so on, moas, and in the places we've studied, but we actually do not know, I mean, why the DNA is deposited there. I mean, we speculate it might be dung, but it could also be like just a footprint that have put the DNA there. It's a completely open question at the moment, and I mean, until we know more about the nature of this DNA, I mean, it's very difficult to say where we can actually use the method.
Mm-hmm.
I would say at currently, I think the biggest advantages will definitely be within paleobiology and archaeology, because there's a lot of situations, for example, when we're talking about the first inhabitants of America. I mean, we have a lot of sites where you don't find any bones from any humans, but you know that there has been some kind of occupation there, and there our method can be used just to go down, drill into the sediment, and then look for the human DNA directly in the soil, providing us with information about the genetics of these first people.
Fascinating. Thank you for joining us today.
Okay, thanks.
Ask Verlislev is a molecular biologist in the Department of Evolutionary Biology at the Zoological Institute, University of Copenhagen in Denmark. And he joined us by phone from Denmark, and thank him for staying up and being with us.